Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to our bonus special class. Welcome to heal trauma and create a life you love. In this class, you will learn how to heal your past trauma on a deeper level so that you can heal your body, fully accept and love yourself, experience peace and joy, and also receive more abundance in all areas of your life, love, money, purpose, passion, spirituality, etc. So as you probably know, I'm Tanya Penny, and I'm an occupational therapist by degree. I currently call myself a Vibrant Body and Abundant Life Coach, and I'm also the author of Connect with the Divine You. And I am excited and honored and just grateful to be here with you today, supporting you to more fully heal your past trauma. Because from my own experience, I know what a long road this can be. I know how it can negatively impact your life, how bad it can feel. I know. I began the path of healing my trauma when I was only 14. And I have been through tons of counseling. I've had more healers and coaches than I can count. I've gone to many trauma healing intensives and workshops and retreats. And I do continue to seek outside of myself support from spiritual healers and mentors even today, because I know that there are many layers to healing trauma. And I know many of you listening might be healers and coaches and counselors and psychologists. And no matter what, we can use all of the tools that we teach other people, and we still need support. So I deeply know that and practice that. And then what I do is I adapt, I use what works for me, and I teach it to my clients, to you guys. So whether you're in my program right now, one of my programs, or you're in my free community, welcome. I'm going to be, in a nutshell, sharing in the next 60 minutes the most powerful things that I have learned to heal your trauma. And my hope is that today will help you to go deeper into healing your past so that you can love yourself fully and truly create a life that you love. Because if you stay stuck in unresolved trauma, it's going to keep you from doing that. So I love to start all of my calls by having you place a hand on your heart, a hand on your belly, or if you're guided to put your hand somewhere else. There's just suggestions. There's no have-tos or shoulds in any of the things, the work, the tools that I teach. I really want you to follow your own guidance. But I'd like to start with that, just placing your hands, closing your eyes unless you're driving. And just begin to follow your breath. And if you need to do this with your eyes open because you're at work and you're listening undercover, that's okay. If you can close your eyes, it's more beneficial, cutting out outside stimulus from the eyes. And just simply follow your breath in and out of your body, not trying to fix it or change it, just as it's naturally happening. And after a few moments, begin to breathe in compassion for yourself, acceptance of all you've been through, compassion for all you've been through, and breathing out any self-judgment, self-hatred, blame, anger at yourself. And breathing in again, compassion, acceptance, love for all parts of you. And breathing out and releasing any self-judgment, judgment of anything that you've done or haven't done in the past. Shame, blame, anger at yourself. And breathing in one more time, love and compassion. Breathing out criticism, judgment, blame, shame, anger at yourself. And breathing in gratitude for yourself. Gratitude that you are making the time today or even listening to this replay. Gratitude for all the hard work that you have put into healing up to this moment. And I know you all have, or you wouldn't be here. And again, breathing out self-criticism, shame, blame, anger. And doing that several more times. And ending whenever you're ready with an intention to be open, open heart, open mind during this class, leaving judgment, resistance, perfection at the door. They're not needed right now. This is a safe place, a safe container. They don't need to protect you right now. You are safe. And when that's complete, giving yourself a big hug, opening your eyes, and grabbing a notebook, a pen, maybe opening a document on your computer, however you like to take notes. Maybe you don't want to take notes, and that's fine too. Maybe you just want to listen along. The replay of this class will be a short time. Those of you in one of my paid programs get for free. Make sure you grab something to drink, a beverage you enjoy. Get comfortable. Let any of your loved ones know that this is a do not disturb time. Taking time for you is necessary to healing trauma, healing your body, to just staying sane in this crazy world, right? And for those of you who would like more support after this class today, I will be sharing towards the end of the call a few ways that you can receive that. So I'm going to start by just giving a few little nuggets, I guess nuggets of wisdom on healing trauma that I've learned over the last, gosh, I'm 44. And I've been doing this since I was 14, and probably more seriously on a deeper level when I got diagnosed with MS when I was 29. My focus in occupational therapy was I did a lot of physical, but also mental health. So I've worked with people in rehab hospitals. I've worked with kids in schools. I have worked in nursing homes. I have worked with every single age possible and have seen and supported people to heal a lot of trauma. So, and I opened my own coaching business in 2010. So I've been doing this virtually since 2013, et cetera. So here are some nuggets on healing trauma. Everyone on the planet has experienced trauma. Now, here's the thing. Many of us know that we've been traumatized, and a lot of people are not aware of traumas that are, call them small. Let's just say, oh, that's not a trauma. So, kind of a funny thing, right? Because what oftentimes our parents did, because they didn't know what to do with the way that, how to handle your trauma, is they would pretty much tell you that, you know, get over it, that's silly, that's, you know, yeah, get over it, that's silly. They probably did not use the word trauma. So many of us remember our traumas, many of us don't. What I have recently, just recently in December, realized that memories of trauma can even come to you later in life. And that happens when you are ready and strong enough to deal with it. So I didn't remember a lot of my childhood before the age of 10. And there's a very good reason for that. I knew I had certain traumas, like being teased at school, sexual abuse from my cousins. But there were some even bigger traumas that were hidden in my subconscious that didn't come out until this last December. And I'll talk about those a little bit later tonight. But, so just know that, I mean, if you're here, obviously, you know that you have had at least one trauma or you wouldn't be here. Or you may be curious. Maybe you think you have had some trauma, but you're not sure. A lot of my clients have been sexually abused, but they don't have all the information, all the memories, but they know they have been. So just know that memories come to you when you're ready. And a lot of the things I'm going to mention that are traumas, you were probably told or in some way, shape, or form that they weren't traumas. Okay? They were probably pushed under the rug. So that feels important to share with you. So if a trauma happens and there is not somebody there to help you through the trauma, especially in childhood, the emotions that the trauma creates will get stuck in the body. If someone is not there to help you feel and release the trauma, the emotions that you experience, because you're a child, usually, when they first happen, with them. Most of our parents didn't know what to do with them. So we're not blaming our parents, right? They did the best they could. Even though a lot of them were part of the trauma, they really were doing the best they could. And then beliefs. If the trauma wasn't not just emotions, but beliefs will be created because of the trauma. And those beliefs will then attract more of that trauma. So I'm going to give you an example. My father cheated on my mother, and they felt, for some reason, that it was a good thing to tell me about it. That was a trauma for me. So nobody else gets to decide what is traumatic for you. Okay? This is about validating and acknowledging your own trauma. I oftentimes will have to say to clients, do you know that that's a trauma? Witnessing that or that experience, that is traumatic. Right? So I experienced, not literally experienced, but was told about it. It was traumatic for me. Great, my dad's a cheater. I move into adulthood, and every single man that I dated cheated on me. Because of that trauma, I took on the belief, because of my father, men are cheaters. And lo and behold, probably, 7 relationships they were cheaters. They cheated on me. So that's just one example, and there are many more. So what we do to prevent a trauma or a similar trauma in the future is we will often then take on coping mechanisms. Coping mechanisms, and this is usually not conscious, that we feel might keep us safe, might get us love, help us survive. And again, this is usually not conscious. So there are three big patterns that I talk about in my program. And the first one is a lot of us fall into the perfection pattern. We try to do and be perfect so that whatever the trauma was doesn't happen again. If we do it good enough, perfect, if we don't make a mistake, then that bad thing won't happen again. And some of these may actually have kept you safe, may have actually got you love and helped you to survive. But now as adults, they don't. The second pattern that I often see is people pleasing. Even if you've had like the minimal trauma, every single child on the planet pretty much tries to please their parents. And then we move into adulthood, teenage years, try to please our friends, try to please boyfriends, partners, girlfriends. I know there are men and women listening to this. So people pleasing, doing things that just to please others, even if we don't really want to do it, maybe even if it's harmful to us, in order to get love, in order to get approval, fill in the blank. And the third pattern that we often see that is caused by trauma is that pretending to be superhuman, I call it. And this looks like overachieving, workaholism, doing, 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 going, 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 always being busy, trying to fix other people's problems. So this is a big one that I've struggled with all of them, but this one is a really big one for me and for lots of reasons. I actually, because there was so much chaos and trauma just all the time in my house on a daily basis, pretty much happening. I got really and overachieved to be out of the house, away from the trauma. I mean that early on, sports, drama club, etc. I also did it because I knew that if I wanted to escape, I was going to have to get my own scholarship to college, blah, 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 blah. I also did it. My mom had depression untreated, and I tried to be her counselor, right? So that falls under superhuman, trying to fix other people's problems so that you get what you need. And this starts in childhood. All of these start in childhood. So you may want to, with compassion and curiosity, just note which of those, and most of my clients struggle with all of them. The perfection, the people-pleasing, the pretending to be superhuman. Another interesting, this falls under superhuman too, is theirs is worse than mine. Mine is not that bad. So as a superhuman, we compare our trauma to other people, and as a coping mechanism, again, to survive, to get us through it. Oh, mine's not that bad, right? Like, look at so-and-so. They got it worse than I do. That's actually a coping mechanism to survive. And again, these really did help us to some degree, but now as adults, they're hurting us. These patterns are hurting us. They're causing us to go against ourselves, to not be in alignment with our truth. They're causing us to overdo, overwork, beat up on ourselves, etc. And so, it's just acknowledging why they are here. It was a coping mechanism, a protective mechanism, due to the trauma that you experienced, right? So Our unresolved traumas and these coping mechanisms that we took on will eventually create dis-ease in our mind and body, or even chronic illness, anxiety, depression, insomnia, headaches, migraines, pain, GI or digestive issues, female and male issues, autoimmune disorders, cancer, you name it, thyroid issues. That's what ends up happening, the unresolved trauma, the stuffed emotions, the belief system that cause us to behave and act in a certain way that goes against ourselves. So that's why it's so important to heal it. Now, these unresolved traumas can also create breakdowns, of course, in our relationships, because usually the trauma was related to a relationship, usually a primary relationship as a child, a mother, a father, a sibling, maybe an aunt or an uncle, a close friend of a family, maybe a neighbor, a teacher. So, yeah, it will impact our relationships usually. You will also, unfortunately, if you don't heal your past trauma, you'll end up taking it out on the people you love the most or passing it on to others. You'll pass on those 3P patterns, those belief systems that go with the traumas that you experienced. That's why it's so tricky. And that's why we can't blame our parents. Our parents also had trauma that is still unresolved for most of them. I have to pat on the back. I have a lot of people I work with who are parents, who are even in their late 50s or 60s that are doing this work now. And I commend you. I know how difficult this can be. Please, please hear me when I say this. Do not guilt or shame yourself. Do not blame yourself. You are always doing the best that you can, and you're doing something about it now, right? You're working on resolving it and healing it now, and that is what is important. All right, let's see some other nuggets. It's important for me to say that it's often not possible to confront the person that caused or was involved in the trauma. Many of you try to do this, and it's not a good idea because if they're still around, they will often not validate what happened, right? They're in denial because it's really hard to swallow when you've done something to somebody that has created trauma for them. And it brings up their shame and their guilt and all of their trauma. So, yeah, you know, I'm just going to speak from a recent uncovering is that I received guidance that my mother knew about the sexual abuse that I had as a child between the ages of 7 and 10. I had a memory that I tried to tell her, and she pretty much just ignored it. And so that leads me to believe, my guidance says my mother has had sexual abuse as well. That was also, you know, she's never dealt with it, is in denial about it. So, of course, she would deny mine. Now, that doesn't mean I haven't had to work through anger towards her and feeling like, you know, the belief that women won't support me. So I'm just sharing that as an example. You know, if I went to her now and said, do you know that this happened? I really believe she would probably still deny it. So I have not gone to her for validation. I know it to be true. So it's important that you acknowledge and validate your trauma, not go to somebody else, because they will likely not do that. Or a lot of the people that were part of our trauma, they might not be around anymore. They might be dead, or you don't know where they are. So, again, what I'm saying is it's not always good or important or beneficial to go to the actual source that was part of the trauma. It could just be re-traumatizing. Let's see. So the good news is you can heal the trauma. Any trauma can be healed. And when that happens, the body and mind can and will heal as well. So even though I'm still working on healing different layers, more layers of my past trauma, I haven't had an MS symptom, which was hugely related to my past traumas since 2010. That doesn't mean that I still don't have more healing to do around the trauma. So you'll get to a certain point in your healing of past traumas where your body symptoms, most of them. Now, I still have GI issues, which is lighter than the MS symptoms were. But I still can have GI issues when I get triggered, when my traumas, past traumas get triggered. Okay? But, yeah, I felt important to just share those things with you. Let's see what else. Okay, this is important. When you are triggered by a person or situation in the present, whether it's at work or with your sweetie or a kid or a friend, it is because there is still an unresolved past trauma. The only reason we get triggered by anything is because there is an unresolved past trauma. So, I want to kind of move into how to heal trauma. I gave you a little bit of info, nuggets, wisdom around that. But from what I've experienced is there's two parts to healing trauma, and both are needed to fully heal and move forward. One of those parts is to support the wounded human part of us to heal, and that's going to be our main focus today. Now, I want to also share the second piece, which is acknowledging that your soul, spirit, higher self, whatever you call it, chose to have these traumatic experiences. I know for some of you that might sound outrageous, but from my current spiritual perspective, our soul, spirit, higher self chose to have these traumatic experiences, no matter how bad they might be. Now, why would they do that? Well, in order to grow, to evolve, and for many of you, to even help you that you chose in this lifetime. So, like myself, I've had tons of trauma, tons of illness, anxiety, depression, MS, pain, headaches, insomnia, GI problems, thyroid issues, am I missing anything? I've had hip issues, low back issues. So part of my purpose has been to heal my own stuff, my own trauma, so that I can not only heal my body, but then to move forward and help you guys to do it too. A lot of my clients come into the illness store, but recently, and I'm doing this class because of it, a lot of people are coming in through the trauma door, even though they also do have illness, or anxiety or depression, body stuff or anxiety and depression or both. So those two parts are needed to fully heal trauma. Again, today we're going to focus on supporting the wounded human part of you to heal. Now, I want to say this before we get into some of the tools. So I teach many tools to heal trauma. I am going to share a few with you today. Now, one of the things I do with my clients, and I'm sure many of you have done already, is counseling. So talking about your trauma is helpful and is a piece to healing it. But for most people on the planet, talking about it alone will not fully heal it. You will need to learn tools to actually release it from your body. So somatic therapy, I guess you could call a little bit, I guess you could call that's what I do. I've never been, I guess, formally trained in somatic therapy, but it's something that I started to do through the other pieces that I've learned. And, yeah, it's interesting. I guess I've had a little bit of it before, but in my therapies. So the important thing is, I know many of you have been in counseling, and yes, that is helpful. And then lots of people get to a certain level and they need more than that. So I'm really big, because I'm an occupational therapist by degree, on teaching people tools to be independent. And that includes being independent with your healing. So I'm a guide. I don't want to heal you. I want to guide you to heal yourself and empower you. Because that's the big thing that happened when we were traumatized, is we felt powerless. We felt powerless. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't go get energy work or Reiki or massage or other things to help me, right? That's a part of it, but I also believe in learning tools to use to help yourself. So I want to start to move into that now. I want to start teaching you some tools to get started. So number one, it's important to acknowledge and accept / validate, whichever word you prefer, your trauma. So again, grab a notebook, grab a document. You're going to start this now, and then you're going to continue this after this call. But I'd like you to start it now at least, unless you're driving or at work perhaps. So first I want you to list all your traumas, the ones obviously you know about, and the age that they occurred. So there might be an age range. Like I was teased, by the way, bullied/teased by boys from the time I was, I think, in second or third grade until I was in seventh or eighth grade. Teased about my body. I hit puberty early. Teased because, weirdly enough, they liked me, but that was how boys knew to get attention from girls. So I was teased a lot, and it was very traumatic. Caused me to really hate my body. And, I was teased a lot at home as well, by my father. I'm going to name all the different types of trauma there are in case you were told it wasn't trauma. But list all your traumas plus the age or the age range they occurred. Take a guess if you're not sure, okay? Like, go with your intuition, your guidance. But I'm going to do a list of possible traumas, and I'm sure there are more, but I think I've covered the major ones. Being constantly corrected, being teased or bullied, called names, criticized or shamed, being neglected emotionally or physically, being gaslighted. If you're not sure what gaslighted means, it's when you say something happened and the person says, no, it didn't. And you know what happened. Like, you did this. No. Like, I used to have a boyfriend that I knew he was cheating. It was obvious. She would leave messages on his voice answering machine, right? And I lived at his place often. And I'd say, hey, I'd point it out, and he'd be like, oh, no, she's just messing around. She's kidding. Like, we're just friends. He would totally gaslight me, right? So that's gaslighting. Being controlled is a trauma. Being threatened. Going through a divorce, whether it was you were a child and your parents got divorced, or you had a divorce, as an adult, a death of somebody close to you, a pet, a parent, a friend, a grandparent, a death. And it doesn't always have to be somebody close to you, a death. Adoption is a trauma for most people that have been adopted. Physical abuse, sexual abuse, or inappropriate touching. Chronic illness, whether you experienced it or maybe one of your parents had a chronic illness or has a chronic illness. Witnessing others being abused verbally, physically, or sexually is trauma. Having an accident or witnessing an accident, or somebody in your, you know, somebody close to you being in an accident, having a trauma ignored or being called silly when you bring it up is a trauma. So here's one that, as a child, I think I was 7 or 8, and I lived in a very small town, and it was cold, it was winter, I had my snowmobile suit on, I was waiting outside after school for a ride, and my parents forgot to pick me up. And this school was like on the edge of town, so it was dark, it was cold. This was before the times that teachers would actually like wait until all the children were gone. Like nobody was there, and it was like getting dark. I had to go to the bathroom. I couldn't walk anywhere. It was like 2 miles. And finally, my dad came to pick me up, and I had peed myself by this time. I was crying. I was scared. And he was like, come on, don't be silly. You knew someone was going to pick you up. So, like, brushing away the scary thing, the traumatic thing, is a trauma. Yeah, unfortunately. And again, my dad, your parents, they didn't know how to deal with trauma. Even their own. So again, I'm not here to blame anybody. So our traumas can happen in person and in this day and age, virtually or on social media. People can be traumatized by things that are done to them on Facebook. That's a big one right now. You know, I had emails where I was threatened a couple of years ago. And that was hugely traumatizing for me. So they can happen virtually or in person, your traumas. So I want you just to take a moment, and again, you're going to start this now, and then you're going to go back to it later. But I want you just to list a few known traumas. Take a moment to list them. And then what we're going to do next is I'm going to have you, and you're definitely going to do this after this call tonight. You're going to write and describe what happened. From your perspective, what was true for you. It doesn't matter if somebody else said it didn't happen or that it wasn't true or that you're making it up, or it doesn't matter. I want you to allow the part of you that was traumatized, whether it was the 5-year-old, the 7 to 10-year-old, the 16-year-old, the 18-year-old, I want you to let that part of you write and describe what happened. As you do this, noting any emotions that come up while you were doing it. And writing those emotions down as well, like this made me feel ashamed, or I was scared, or this is really sad or hurtful. I was terrified. So writing down any emotions that come up related to the trauma and expressing those as well in your writing, hugely important. So why do we do this? We do this because we are letting that part of ourselves have a voice. As I said earlier, my trauma was shut down. I was told I was silly. My trauma was shut down. I tried to tell my mother I was being sexually abused, and she ignored it. I would come home from school telling, you know, I've been teased, I'm being bullied. It got to a point where I just stopped trying to tell anybody because nobody was doing anything about it anyways. So I would just hold it in myself, again, stuff it. One of my favorite ways to stuff my trauma was with food, and then with alcohol and drugs, and then with staying really busy. So a lot of addictions, besides the 3P patterns I talk about, come from past trauma because we didn't know how else to deal with what we were feeling and the belief systems that our thoughts and therefore our belief systems that we took on. We didn't know how to deal with the quote-unquote pain of the trauma. So not even beating ourselves up for any addictions we had and might still have. Shopping, sex, gambling, anything can be used. Anything can be an addiction, even something good. Okay? So we're doing it to give that part of us a voice. The part of us that didn't have a voice, maybe wasn't truly heard, was shut down. Maybe that you just knew they weren't going to do anything about it. Or maybe you were ashamed of what happened, so you didn't say anything. That's part one. So again, part one is acknowledge and accept, validate your trauma. List them, the age range they occurred, and then write and describe what happened from your perspective, what was true for you. Also noting any emotions that come up while you were doing so. Accepting any emotions that come up, writing about them. If you cry, accepting that that's okay. If you want to like scream, that's fine. We're going to be doing something that's going to get into that a little bit more in a few minutes. So part two of healing your trauma is discover your human, your wounded human self, right? That part of the trauma. Number two is discover the beliefs that were caused by the trauma. So there's two pieces to this. One is asking yourself, that part of you that was traumatized, why do they believe they were traumatized? Why do they believe this trauma happened? It's crazy, but a lot of kids who experience a divorce growing up believe that their parents got divorced because they did something wrong, that they weren't lovable or they weren't good enough or they were bad and that's why mommy or daddy went away. It was their fault. So asking this part of you for each trauma, again, after class, you're probably, most of you aren't going to have time to go through all of them right now, but why do you believe, just pick one of them, why do you believe this trauma happened to you? Whether it was your 5-year-old, your 10-year-old, asking them, why do you believe this happened to you? And accept whatever answer they give you. Do not try to make them silly. Don't tell them they're stupid. A lot of the stuff we heard growing up. You're that unconditional loving parent right now showing up for this traumatized part of you. Asking them, why do you believe this trauma happened? And then write down whatever they say. Number two, what belief was created because of the trauma? So this is more of the adult part of you, higher self looking back. What belief was created? I'm going to go through a few common ones given my traumas. I was bad. I deserved it. I wasn't good enough or lovable. I have a belief that all men will abuse me and use me. That all women, because of my trauma, will throw me under the bus, won't support me. Okay. So those are some common beliefs that a lot of my people that I had to work through and a lot of the people I've worked with also have. Now, there's many more than that. Again, if we look at the three P's as well, like I have to please so-and-so in order to get love or in order to not get hurt, right? I can't speak up or I'll get hurt because maybe some of you got, you know, the trauma happened because you actually expressed yourself. Maybe you got teased or bullied because you were just being who you were, right? Or like me, because of my body, right? So my body is bad. My body is all men want is sex is another one that I had to work through. So taking a moment, again, just pick one trauma right now and what beliefs were created because of this trauma. And then you're going to come back for each trauma and ask yourself this. And the next piece of number two is asking what is true. What does your adult higher self part of you know to be true? So And the last one, you typically wrote down a limiting belief. It was probably a negative or limiting belief. And now you're going to write down what is true. So let me give you some examples. So maybe the truth is it wasn't your fault. So these are things that are true for the part of you that was traumatized. It wasn't your fault. It wasn't because you weren't good enough or lovable or bad. It didn't happen because of that. This person did it because they were part of this traumatization because they were hurting too, because they felt bad. Maybe even like I said before, those boys liked me, but the only way they knew how to like show that was to like tease me. And definitely my mom and my dad, the traumas that I experienced with them was because they were hurting too. They had their own unresolved trauma. Maybe you want to tell that part of you that you love and accept them as they are, and now you're going to take good care of them moving forward, that they're safe, right? That now only trustworthy people you're going to let into your inner circle. Maybe you're going to say to them, there's nothing you have to do to be lovable or worthy. That's what's true. You don't have to please others. You don't have to be a superhuman. That you love this part of you just as they are. That it's now safe to speak the truth. Your truth. So those are some possible truths that you might write down to those beliefs that were created by the trauma. Limiting beliefs and fears. And again, you're going to come back to this after the class to finish it, either today or you might give it a few days. But it would be good to probably complete this part in the next couple of days to a week. And it's like one of those things, you guys, it's never fully done. You're probably going to, maybe it will be. It hasn't been for me yet. You're going to keep coming back, right? You're going to add more because as you open to this and have tools to heal your trauma, you might get more memories, more pieces, more information about your past. Like I shared earlier, that's what's happening to me. Okay, we're going to move into number three, and I'm going to take you through a self-healing process. So you can write the steps, but I'd like you to experience it. So I'd like you to pick one of your traumas, preferably one that you did a little of the writing about, the beliefs, the emotions, the opposite truths. And I actually want to take you through the process. And then, like I said earlier, you can go back and listen to the replay. It'll be available, I think, until June 17th. And then those of you in one of my paid programs get the download to continue to use again and again. So get in a comfortable position. You may want to start actually looking in a mirror. I find that to be really powerful if you have a mirror present. And it can be a big mirror, a little mirror, so that's up to you. If you want to get in front of a mirror, it can be more powerful. And the first thing we're going to do in this process is state an intention for this self-healing process. And perhaps you're going to say something like, I am going to support you, my 10-year-old part of me, to heal and then fill in the blank whatever the trauma is. The sexual abuse, the teasing, the bullying, the neglect, the controlling, the adoption, whatever it was. So stating your intention. And then next, calling in your something bigger, higher levels, God, universe, source, to assist you in this healing process, that it may happen with the most ease and grace and speed as you can handle at this time. And then you're going to close your eyes. And you might want to place a hand on your heart and one on your belly. And if you can, picture yourself at the age of the trauma. And if it was an age range, like 7 to 10, just whatever image comes in, but picturing yourself at that age is very helpful. And now I want you to think of the trauma, the memory of the trauma. And acknowledge the emotions that are coming up. And I want you to just move your hands and place them on your body wherever you feel those emotions. It could be fear, sadness, shame, guilt, anger. And just let this part of you know that whatever they feel is fine and you're here for them no matter what. You're just going to be with them. Accept them, accept what they're feeling, and that they are safe with you to do this. So you are showing up and being that wise, unconditionally loving parent to this part of you, this traumatized part of you. So then just continuing to breathe and feel. Whatever they're feeling, again, putting your hand on your body, wherever you're feeling it. This is a comforting, soothing touch that many of us did not get growing up. And if you did, yay for you, seriously. But now we're giving it to ourselves. And letting this part of you know that it's normal for them to feel this way, given what they experienced. It's also normal to believe and fill in the blank, whatever the belief is that was created by the trauma, whatever they think, why they think it happened. Because they weren't lovable, because they weren't good enough, or they were bad, or fill in the blank. It's normal that they would believe that because of what they experienced. And you're so sorry. You're so sorry that it happened. So continue to breathe and feel. And do this as long as you are guided to. You may stay here for 30 seconds and maybe a few minutes. This may bring up tears. It may bring up anger and you might want to yell. Let that part of you yell. Again, you're letting this part of you, like I couldn't yell and I couldn't cry as a child. I got in trouble if I did. I got more trauma if I cried or if I would yell. So I've even let that part of me yell, fuck you. My teenage part of me, and even my 10-year-old, I just did this just the other day, right? This very process I'm doing with you. So crying, yelling, whatever this part of you, you know, give it a voice. Let him or her have a voice. When that feels complete, and again, when you come back and use this on your own, you can stop it, pause it, stay in each phase as long as you want to. I'm going to move on today for sake of time. The next piece is you're going to begin to breathe in acceptance and compassion for this part of you. And feel and breathe out and release those emotions. You've been doing this, but now you're going to do it even more with your breath. So breathe in acceptance and compassion for this part of you, love. Feel, breathe out, release the anger, the shame, the sadness, the guilt, etc. You may even want to gently rub the area where you were feeling this emotion in your body to help release it. And again, do this piece as long as you are guided to. And again, moving on now to the next phase, the next piece of this. If you have the download later, you can pause it and stay there longer. But for now, opening your eyes, and if you're in front of a mirror, looking in the mirror. If you're not in front of a mirror, you may want to keep your eyes closed. That's up to you. And now you're going to gently begin to tell this part of you what is true. This part of you that you've been helping to heal, you're going to start to gently tell it what is true. Referring back to the things you wrote down earlier, maybe it wasn't your fault. It wasn't your fault that this happened. You weren't bad. It wasn't because you weren't good enough or lovable. It was because this person was hurting, this person felt bad, and they took it out on you. They had unresolved trauma of their own, and they took it out on you. It wasn't because of you. You are good enough. You are lovable. I accept and love you just as you are. There's nothing you have to do to be lovable. I love you no matter what. And I'm only allowing trustworthy people into our inner circle now, into our lives. I promise to let nobody hurt you again. I, the wise, knowing adult, can now protect you. I'm now capable of standing up for myself. You weren't capable as a child. You oftentimes were powerless to these people. So it's not your fault, and I'm here to protect you now. You're safe. So whatever truths you need to repeat gently to this traumatized part of you, and doing that for several moments. Okay, and when you're doing this on your own, you can pause it. We're going to move forward right now, though, for the sake of time. You want to end by giving yourself a big hug, like physically wrapping your arms around yourself, this part of you, maybe closing your eyes or having them open and looking them in the mirror. Give yourself a huge hug and say, I love you no matter what. I accept and love you. No matter what you do, what you don't do, you are worthy by just being born. And you deserve all that you desire in life. You deserve love. You deserve money. You deserve to have a career that you love. You deserve to receive guidance and support from your higher levels, something bigger. And then asking them, what would they like to do now? What do they need right now? What would they like to do right now? And they may answer or show you an image. You may get words. Again, whatever your guidance is, they may show you with an image or give you words. Maybe a nap. Maybe they want to play. Who knows what they're going to say? Maybe they want to eat. Maybe they want to go shopping. Like whatever this part of you needs right now. Needs, wants, desires. And if they say something like, maybe I want to go shopping right now. Well, maybe right now you can't, because you've got these other things going on, maybe right this minute you can't go shopping, but you might say, you know what? How about we go shopping tomorrow at this time or this coming weekend at this time? So having some kind of a commitment. If it doesn't if it's not really feasible right now to do what they want. Or, you know, maybe you're at work right now and you need to finish work, so you can't go take a nap right now, but maybe when you get home, you're going to take a nap. Because when you do this emotional healing, healing trauma, oftentimes you will be really fatigued afterwards, and it's very common that you'll want to go lay down and rest. Maybe you'll do a guided meditation practice and fall asleep to it. Maybe you'll go take an Epsom salt bath, put some essential oils in, and water can be very healing, help this process as well. So, yeah, just asking and listening to what this part of you needs next. And taking a minute to do that. And then whenever you're complete, you can open your eyes, take a few breaths. So it's important to remember that this isn't a one-time deal usually. It is possible, but typically our traumas are so deep, it's going to take you doing this process with each trauma many times. Now, it may not be every day, but it might be, and you might focus on one trauma and then move to the next, or you might rotate traumas. And you might do it once a day and rotate each of the traumas. So again, there's no hard and cut, like, this is the number of times. Everyone's trauma is different. How it has impacted you mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually is different. But this is one of those processes and tools to help you to heal the root of the trauma. So just a few other little things. Let's see. Another good question to ask yourself is, which of the 3P patterns that I mentioned earlier do I need to work with, release, and shift because they are now only hurting me, no longer working for me? Another what I call write and reflect question is, what actions do I need to take or stop taking to fully love myself, to stop re-traumatizing myself? So a good example that I recently told a client is, you have to stop going back to the people who caused the original trauma. So if your mom or your dad caused the trauma, right now you might need to have some space for them. Maybe you only email them or talk to them. You don't see them in person. Especially if they continue to treat you in a way that is re-traumatizing. Many of you try to go back to your parents, again, to get validation, acceptance, and they just keep treating you in the same disrespectful or shitty way. And you're wanting them to change or validate, you know, what happened, and they're not going to probably do it, at least not right now. So space might be what you need to stop re-traumatizing yourself. Maybe you have to end a relationship with a guy or a woman who actually, now that you're looking at it, treated you just like a person in the past or similar that traumatized you. And now you're re-traumatizing yourself by being with that person. So when we get triggered, again, when we get triggered, it shows us that a part of us, either one, still needs healing, that trauma still needs healing, or that we might need to set a boundary and walk away from the person or situation, maybe now, maybe forever. Okay. And definitely when somebody asked when they're triggered, if they do the process again, absolutely. If you get triggered, ask yourself, okay, how is this situation or this person related to past trauma are they related to? And then do the process with that traumatized part of you, going through what I took you through tonight. So, wow, my throat is really cached, and I realize we're at over our 60-minute mark. So if you have questions, please email me, tanya@tanyapenny.com, whether it's about the class. You can email me. And for those of you who are looking for more support, And again, whether it's me or somebody else, that's cool. Just please get the support you need. And if you would like to work with me, there are three ways that you can do that. One is to join me for the Self-Love and Trust program. It's a three-month program. And I believe until June 11th, it includes the bonus release, the three P's that I've been talking about tonight, the audio program. And you can find details for that program at tanyapenny.com/self-love, all one word. You can join me for the whole Vibrant Body and Abundant Life journey, which includes all 10 keys. And they're all equally important to healing trauma. That's a year-long program. You can find details for that at tanyapenny.com/VBAL. V as in Victor, B as in baby, A as in apple, L as in love, - journey. And that includes the 3P program, symptom speak workshops, pretty much everything that I create, it includes. You can also sign up just to have a one-on-one session with me. That can often be helpful. And in my one-on-one sessions, I can actually take you through a personalized practice like we did today on this call and record it, and then you can re-listen to it to help you to heal the unresolved trauma. And details for that are at tanyapenny.com/11-session. All right, you guys. So thank you for joining me today for the Heal Trauma, Create a Life You Love. And if you know of somebody that would benefit from this, you can definitely share it with them. I do recommend to re-listen to this class replay. If you're in a program, download it and start using these tools, this process. And again, please join me if you feel called to for one of the three options I mentioned earlier, Self-Love and Trust Program, Vibrant Body and Abundant Life Journey, or a one-on-one session. And just sending you so much courage, compassion, and grace for your journey, on your journey. I know, again, this is not easy, but I believe that we are all capable of doing it. So please don't give up hope. Please, above everything else, be kind to yourself, compassionate with yourself, and I look forward to supporting you on your journey. Love you guys. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.